who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Who keeps it real around all your folks?
It's JV.
You've been looking and what do you know? Congrats, you tapped into the Javon Show. Who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Who keeps it real around all your folks?
It's JV.
No matter the outlook, will give you some hope. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Javon Show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Javon Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the bishop, and he's in the house. It is an honor, sir. The pleasure is 100% completely all mine. I am so grateful to have you on the show today. We're going to start off this interview like we start off every single interview that we do. The main question that we ask everybody that comes through the studio, who is Bishop Vernon House?
Well, I am a man that believes in faith. I'm very big on faith. I am a father of three boys, and I have some godchildren. I am a senior pastor of a Life Church and CEO of businesses, entrepreneur. And most importantly, I am a man that practices and believes in self-power. I believe in self-power and power of the oneness, power of the mind. Let me see what else. That's kind of who I am in brief. Yeah, that's about it.
So help me with that, Bishop, because I've always wanted to ask someone this, and that's why I was happy to have you on the show today. So is it the power of just believing that if you believe hard enough and that you just keep putting your mind to it, that it'll just happen for you because you believed it?
Well, it's a little more than that. You know, belief is more than just put your mind to it, because if it's just about your mind, then anyone can have it. So it's not just about your mind. Most people don't understand what faith is, and even most people go to church. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're going to have everything you believe for, because you can believe in it, but God doesn't want it for you, or it's not good for you. He said, no good thing will I withhold from them. So if he withhold it, that means it wasn't good for you. Mm. Faith is simply the conduit to God. In other words, faith is the vehicle that gets you to the belief in God can, God will, but it doesn't mean everything you put your faith to, he's going to actually manifest. It doesn't work like that. Faith is it's bigger than just belief and just and people think that if I believe, it's going to happen. But let me say this: faith will always manifest something. It just might not get you what you think you ought to have, because the power of faith is it's going to happen. It may not happen the way you want. It may not be exactly what you want, but it will manifest. Faith has to manifest something. God can't hold it from you with faith. You just don't always get what you think you ought to have.
And see, that's the thing, because I think that by now, at 44, going on 49 in my head and 65 in my body, that I should have it by now, you know? And this is why I was so excited to talk to you, because I was reading your bio, and I know where you come from. I did my research, and I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to talk to Bishop House, because I'm trying to figure out God, me and God have been rocking for 43 years, right? 44 years, 79, if I do the math, if I carry the one, for more than 40 years, me and God have been rocking. And so I know that there's going to be greatness, because I've been told that the greatness is coming ever since I was a little kid, right? Everybody, oh, you guys got something for you. Ever since a kid, Bishop House. And now I went out on faith and said, okay, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to, because I believe that God wants me to focus my actual attention on bringing my skills and abilities and talents to life. Mm-hmm. And so that was in January. And now we're rocking at the beginning of June. And there have been some things, but not a lot of things. So it's like, Bishop House, am I doing it wrong? Is my faith, am I working the exercise of faith incorrectly? And if so, what should I be doing differently?
No, you're working faith correctly. Faith is a risk. Here goes the thing. Peter steps out of a boat. He says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come unto you. And then the voice, Jesus, of course, says, come unto me. He did something the other disciples didn't do. They were in the midst of a storm. The boat was getting ready to sink. Peter says, if it's you, bid me to come. He steps out and takes the risk. That's faith. Faith is risky, not knowing if he's going to drown or not. But he believes in faith. And here goes the powerful thing. Jesus looks at the other disciples and says, oh, ye of little faith. People says he said it to Peter, but he did it. He said, oh, ye is more than one. He looks at them and says, y'all have little faith. Peter has big faith because Peter took a risk and Peter did not drown. The point that I'm making here is when you walk out and move out in faith, he'll never let you drown because faith is the stimulus to who God is. Mm-hmm. Faith moves God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's why you don't have to pray to please him. You can't jump through a hoop to please him. Wow. Dancing and shouting. Faith is what pleases him. And so Peter steps out and he doesn't drown because he's in faith. And Jesus looks at the others and says, y'all should have did what Peter did. You don't look at the fact that he started sinking. He didn't drown. You will never drown in faith. Wow. Never, ever. Even I found this out. Even if you make a wrong decision at the right of the wrong decision at the wrong time, faith, he still won't let you drown because faith moves him to do what he wouldn't do at that moment. It moves him like this. So there have been moments when I've moved in faith and it didn't make sense. It didn't look good, but he still didn't let me drown. Anyone who doesn't move in faith, you can drown, but in faith, you don't drown.
Where does
it make God look bad?
When did you establish your faith? Because you clearly have had to have gone through something or some things to get to this place to where you have this belief in this power in faith. Where does that come from for you?
To be honest with you, when I was 10 years old, I used to be afraid of thunderstorms and lightning. I was more afraid of the noise than I was the lightning. And I was in my grandmother's house. She lived on the 11th floor. And they said a tornado was coming and we could see it out of her window. And I ran into the bathroom. This is no lie. I ran into the bathroom and I started praying. I came back out and looked. The storm was still coming. I went back in the bathroom and prayed again. I came back out. I just said, I'm going to stand right here. And I started praying. I said, Lord, if you stop the storm, that's what I said. If you stop the storm, I'll obey my mother, my grandmother. I said, I'll obey my sister. I'm naming everybody. I will obey. And my grandmother said, look, literally the rain stopped and the sun started coming through the clouds. And it was in that moment, literally, it was in that moment that I believed that if I trust him, that whatever I say, he'll do it. My grandmother said to me, she said, you're going to have great faith. And so it was in that moment. And then throughout life, I've had experiences where I've tried faith. I've tested faith and it's never failed. I promise you, it's never failed. I've done some of the craziest things. I remember the first time I went to Africa. I had one of my members paid for my ticket. And I had $700. And I was going to Africa. The Father, the Lord told me to go to Africa. I'd never been there. He told me to go to Africa. And I went to Africa. I got to the airport. I went through and when I got to the airport, it was Entebbe Airport. And I was sitting there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, just sit. I didn't know anybody. He said, sit. I sat on my suitcase and the airport was packed. People just walking past me. 3 hours went by. I'm still sitting there. 5 hours went by. I'm still sitting in the airport. And people, I mean, you can't even see. So many people just bumping each other. And finally, I got discouraged. We didn't have no cell phone. There was nobody I could call. And I said, did I hear the right voice? I said, God, I'm way in Africa. And I heard the Lord say to me, sit right here. Literally, I sat for 8 hours. A man I saw pass me, I don't know how many times. And he finally stops. This is what he says. I tell the story all the time. He stops and says to me, he says, you, you're a man of God? I said, yes, I am. He said, the Lord told me to come to the airport. There was a man of God here. That's what he said. A man of God was going to be here. He's going to come to the meeting. He had somebody cancel. I won't say it's a big name. They canceled. He said, I want you to come. God sent me here. I've been walking the airport looking for you. So he had his two men. They grabbed my suitcase. We're going out to this car. I don't know where they're taking me. We got into this car. He said, I want you to preach tonight. The people are waiting. He said, I have a small church. You preach tonight. I got there, went down this bumpy hill. I never forget it. It was bumpy as I can't tell you. And when we hit this bend, I saw these big lights and I saw the back of a stage. Get to there, military men open up my door, and I'm walking up on the stage. And when it gets me on the stage, there were so many people, I couldn't see. I said to the young man, I said, how many people is here? He said, 80,000 people. I looked at the pastor and I said, I thought you said it was a small church. He said, yes, it's not everybody. That was it. And he gave me the mic. He said, I never heard of him. That's what he said. He said, but everybody know who canceled. He said, but God told me the man of God is at the airport. And I preached. And so it'd be the 7 days. It turned out 14 days. I stayed there. 14 days, I said. I went with $700. I left that meeting with $17,000. And from that moment, you couldn't tell me nothing about faith.
Can I borrow a plane ticket? Because I've got someplace to go. So you had no fear once 7.5 hours came?
I was nervous. But I was confident in what I heard. And I believed that I heard God. I questioned it, not because I was sitting for hours. I started hearing people in my mind saying that I told you crazy. God would never send you to Africa like that, way to another country you'd never been to. And I got like Peter. I started listening and looking. And I heard the Lord again say, sit here. Mm. And that second sit, I was confident that somewhere along the line, in my mind, I was thinking he's going to tell me to get up and he's going to send me somewhere to go. But he spoke to the man of God because a big name canceled. And the Lord spoke to him and said, the next speaker is at the airport. He walked for three. I watched him pass me for like 2 hours. He passed me 2 or 3 hours. He just passed me, just scratching his head. And finally, he just stopped. So I really didn't have to sit that long, but he hadn't heard God say, that's the man.
When you got to the venue and you see that there's just seas of people there, did you immediately know what words you were going to bring at that time?
No, I didn't know. When I opened up my mouth, I said, shout hallelujah. And when I said, shout hallelujah, I heard Lord say these words to me. He said, tell the people the praise is your weapon. And that's what I preach. My praise is my weapon. And that's what I preach. I told him, if you keep praising, I said, there's moments when we do spiritual warfare. I said, and you all know that well. I said, but the Lord said, in this season, just use your praise. And it was pandemonium. And every night I preached, actually, I preached 4 times a day, all day, 110, 95 degrees weather, 99s. I preached 4 times a day for 14 days, excuse me, straight. No break. No break at all.
No praise team to
buff. Oh, they're praising. Oh, yeah. The praise team, I mean, they would sing 3, 4, 5 hours easy. Yeah. They would just sing and sing. And then when it got to a certain point, they had dancers and everything. And then he would look at me and he said, prophet, he said, you ready? And I would say, no. He'd tell me to keep singing. And he said, you ready? I said, I'm ready. And he just hand me the mic and I just go.
Yeah. So, have you made Africa a yearly trip?
Actually, funny thing about it, I moved to Africa years ago and I lived there for 2 years. I lived there for 2 years. Yeah. I lived there for 2 years.
And what brought you back?
God. Yeah, that's the only thing that brought me back was God. My assignment was complete. And I got what I needed to get there. He didn't just send me there to be an assignment to other people. People were assignment to me. And they pulled out of me things I didn't know was in me and showed me biblical context from the original culture. And it opened my understanding and expanded my consciousness in ways that I still teach today.
So tell me this, where what are some things that you've had to turn away from because of faith?
Ooh, I have, I'm going to give you an example. I started a church in 2001 in Syracuse, New York. I remember probably 2 years after that, we probably had about 500 or 600 members or more. And the Lord spoke to me about preaching on faith. And I said, for the next 3 months, I'm going to do nothing but preach on faith. And I said, anyone who don't want to hear about faith, you can leave. Well, the next Sunday, 132 people left the church. Yeah. Big tithers, because they said they weren't finna sit there. They said, you turn into some of these faith preachers, these prosperity preachers. And so I lost a lot of people. The tithe and offering went down significantly, but then it went up and God showed up. So faith will cost you relationships when you hear something that no one else can see. And I've lived my life like that. I've heard things no one else could see. And secondly, I can't explain what I'm seeing. Not that I don't know sometimes. It's just that trying to explain doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. Because unless God opens up their eyes to see and their ears to hear to understand, they're not going to understand it. And so I've made a lot of faith moves and faith risks throughout the years. I live by faith. Everything I do, I move by faith. And when I say that, most people don't live by faith. They live by what they see. In order to live by faith, that means you have to constantly stretch yourself and constantly be taking risk. So if you're a millionaire, go buy something worth $10 million if you got $1 million in the bank. Believe God for $10 million. That's taking a risk. And that's what faith is. Because if the scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please him. As long as I'm in faith, I'm pleasing him. And he's going to move for you. That's why there's a difference between someone who doubt and who has faith. Somebody who has faith is going to always have more than you. The favor is going to be greater on them. They can walk through a door and have uncommon favor, and you've been there 20 years, and they'll become the Joseph. Because faith moves them. He'll move mountains for you when you have faith.
And you may be looking at my face like, why is he looking like this? This is my faith face. And my faith face comes from me having been in a faith journey since January 6th. That's January 6th is when I left the job. And since that day, it has been me walking and trying to accomplish what I believe was set for me to accomplish, and for feeling like I'm sitting at a hotel, sitting at an airport, waiting on God's blessing to finally take over. And everything has been a test of faith, it feels like. And so from, you know, the clients coming through for the business that I'm doing, and then coming and going, and still saying, you know, I'm going to stay on this faith journey. And then the people saying, you know, you shouldn't quit that job. Yeah, I told you, I don't know why you did that job. You had a good job. Boy, you had a real good job. And you quit that job. So what were you doing? And I'm like, well, I just believe, truly believe that God told me to. And so when at the end of this month, I moved out of my lease. And so I've got like a month and a half before I can get to the new place. So I'm kind of in this in-between season right now. And all these opportunities are here, but they are delayed for whatever reason. For many different reasons, things have been delayed. And then right when the faith was starting to build up, things then got delayed further. And I feel like the 7.5 hour mark at the airport. So while I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, it's just so, it's giving me that reminder that you could be right there. And if you give up, then you miss that moment that was right there that was going to take you to that next level. So Bishop, that's why I'm just sitting here like, wow, he's just telling all of my business and don't even know me. Just giving it all out there to the people. So what I have to ask you then and I am the king of segue, is that because I believe that the better is coming, what place, what position do I need to be in? How do I place myself in a place to where I can make sure that I am better before my bigger comes?
You're doing it right now. Yeah, you're in it right now. You know, being better before you become bigger is looking at yourself first, being accountable, not just to what you do, what you say, what you think, where you go. The better part of you is happening. You just haven't tapped in to recognize that it's happening. And sometimes in this vein that you're talking about, to kind of piggyback on it, God wants you to trust him. I was working a job, working for an oil company, and I was the manager. And the Lord spoke to me, Textile Oil, and he spoke to me and said, today, I want you to quit your job and go full-time ministry. And I said, what? And I wasn't moving fast enough. And he said to me, if you don't quit, I'm going to make them fire you. Mm. Well, long story short, one of the girls that was underneath me came to me and said, they're having a meeting about letting you go. I said, what? She said, yeah, they're in a meeting right now. So I ran to the conference room, knocked on the door, and I walked in and I said, hey, I said, I don't mean to interrupt. And my boss said, hold on, we're in the meeting. It's the vice president. Hold on. I said, I want to tell you all something. I want to thank you for the opportunity. Da, 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 da. I'm just gone. And I said, but today I'm resigning. And it was seven people, and they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, so thank y'all very much. You know, I type a real letter, and I left. Well, long story short, I didn't get a job right away. Nothing came in invitation-wise. Nobody was calling me. They said to preach, like, consistently. And one day I said to God, maybe I missed you. Mm. And he spoke to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, even if you made the wrong choice, you're in faith, I'm going to make it work for you. Wow. And I got a call to go to North Carolina. And they said, if you can get here, we'll take care of the rest. I had a black Chevy in Paul, I think it was. And I drove with North Carolina. They put me in a motel, not a hotel. It was in a motel. And the pastor said to me, he said, just preach for the week. Don't worry about nothing. I said, oh, man, I got bills to pay. I got rent. You know, I got a small son. I said, well, I got a wife. What am I going to do? And the end of the meeting, he said, whatever is raised, just put it in an envelope. And he handed it to me. He said, I ain't going to count it. Whatever it is what it is. That's what he said. Whatever it is what it is. He said, and if it ain't what you want, just call me back. I got to the motel. I started counting the money. I was up to about $6,000. I stopped. I called him and I said, Pastor Wright, I said, I think there's a mistake. He said, what's the mistake? I said, it's $6,000 in here. He said, is that not good enough? He said, you want more? He said, I tell you. I said, no. And he hung up. He came to the hotel and he brought $1,000 more. I said, no, I was trying to tell you, I don't know if y'all meant for me to have this much. And God spoke to me driving back. And he said, if you trust me, I'll do this and more. Sometimes the waiting is not the delay. It is God wanting you to see if you really trust him, because to trust him is to rely on him, and to trust him is an attitude. Because when you trust him, your verbiage is different. Your perspective is different. When you trust him, you're still living. You're still smiling. You're still moving about. You're not questioning back and forth. You're not doubting. When you trust him, you're saying, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to trust God. Yeah.
I'm trying not to have you on my show for 2 hours, Bishop House. I'm trying real hard because this ain't about me. But I'm hoping that this conversation is helping people who may have gone through what you're going through. And hopefully this conversation is helping them as much as it's helping me, because you are blessing my entire life right now. So what was it like for the family then? Because I heard you mentioned that, you know, you have the young son and you have your wife. Were there moments where you said, God, listen, I got to look out for them? I mean, I know this faith is more than about me, so let me focus on them and do something else while you're preparing these blessings that you have for me?
Actually, no. I just totally trusted them. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this because I've shared this. That was a good moment. It got enough for us to switch and move into another apartment, et cetera, et cetera. But then a drought hit. And we found ourselves, it wasn't that I owed any rent, but the owner went up on the rent and I said I wasn't paying it. Found ourselves living, this is no lie, we were living in our car. Nobody knew it. We were living in our car and we would sleep at the rest stop, go change and get washed up in the rest stop. And that went on for over 30 days and nobody knew. And it was the second month. But God spoke to me. I was crying in the car. And he said, why are you crying? I said, because I failed my family. He said, but you pleased me. And that moment, I went to my grandmother's house. She said, I've been trying to reach you. She said, Bishop so-and-so, he dead now. Bishop so-and-so been trying to reach you. He said, he wants you to come do a two-week revival. I went and ran the two-week revival. He called four of the preachers. I ended up in three different states. And it just kept going. And from that moment, for several years, I preached at 80 churches every single year. God never let me look back. Yeah, I just trusted him.
Do you ever feel that we are past the drought periods? Like, Lord, listen, I've already proven my faith. I've been with you with 30 days in rest stops with my family. I've proven that I can do the faith part. Can we end these seasons of drought?
Well, it's like this. Faith has different levels. And depending on the height that you're going determines the fact that he needs to increase the frequency of your faith. Our faith has a frequency that has to be increased in different seasons. See, the faith you had 5 years ago or 2 years ago is not the same faith that you're going to need, be able to use in the next season of your life, because it demands a different level and frequency of faith. So now he has to increase the frequency. The measure of your faith has to increase because he's getting ready to give you something greater than you had before, do something bigger than he did before, open a bigger door than he opened before, make a way that he's going to create a way. So he increases the frequency of your faith. And he has to watch this. He has to cause you to challenge your self-faith, or your faith self. What I mean by that is, the faith that you had yesterday does not help you for the door tomorrow because it's bigger. So now you got to apply a greater faith. So you're going to have those moments like, God, you want more faith? Well, it's not that I want more faith. I want you to stretch yourself, and it's going to hurt. There's no way a rubber band can be expanded if it was human and not feel it. Faith, you're going to feel it, because when he's stretching you, you're going to feel it. And the power of faith, I can't keep saying that, the power of faith is you pleasing God. And there's nothing that moves him but faith. See, you can pray. I tell people all the time, prayer without faith is just conversations to a wall. Praising without faith is just noise. Giving an offering without faith is a wasted seed, because all of that takes faith. Without faith, your praise don't please him. Your worship doesn't please him. Your money doesn't please him. Praying 7 days a week and fasting for 3 weeks, that don't do nothing. It's the faith that moves God. God is moved by faith, because faith is the only thing that allows you to believe in him that you have not seen, and allows him to let you see him in manifestation. Because we've never seen God in the physical, but you've seen God. Let me say that again. You haven't seen God in the physical, but you've seen God. How? When he opened up that door, you've seen him. When he made the connection, you've seen him. When he paid your rent, you've seen him. When he healed your body, you've seen him. When he gave you the new job, you've seen him. When he expanded your business, you've seen him. You see him by the manifestations, and the manifestation is only seen by believing in what you cannot see, until you see it. Yeah, that's faith. And people say faith is blind. No. Faith is not blind, because when you have faith, that's when you see. When you doubt, you're blind. When you have faith, that's what you see. You're able to see with faith. You're blind when you doubt. Faith people can see. They're not blind. Once you have faith, he opens your eyes to see. You see what you couldn't see before. You get it. You understand it. Faith is that's the source.
Journalist House Holly said that faith is power. I'm going to go a deeper level and say faith can also be peace.
Absolutely.
How did you find your final level or your current level of peace? Because I've heard that your peace is non-negotiable. So, and we're going to bring that up in a second, but how did you find your faith? I mean, your peace within your faith?
I found my peace in chaos. I learned to stay calm in chaotic moments. I learned to stay calm. This is true. I learned to stay calm in chaotic moments. I use the chaotic moments, chaotic people, chaotic situations, even chaotic emotions. I learned to stay calm. Because I learned that how you respond determines when God moves. Yeah. So I learned it in chaos. You can't try your peace when everything's good. You have to try your peace when everything looks bad, when it's going bad, when it is bad, when it's worse, and you still maintain a level of calmness. My antidote, to be honest, the secret to my peace is meditation. I am big on meditation. And that is how I master calmness. I stay calm in situations. You can't pull me out of my character to do what you do, to act like you act, to respond to you. But it's the chaos. And you'll never know if you have peace until God allow chaos to enter your life. And if you respond with the same energy as the chaos, you haven't embraced peace, because peace is there. We just don't embrace it.
It's there. And like I said earlier, it's non-negotiable. You got a clothing line.
That happened recently. My peace is non-negotiable. And I said that because there was instance in my life recently over the past 2 years, where my peace was challenged. And I felt my mind slipping. I felt like I was going to lose my mind. I was having suicidal thoughts, to be honest with you, man. I was having suicidal thoughts because I said, God, why is this happening to me? And I was being silent and I was being quiet. And it seemed like the more quieter I've been was, the worse it got. And the Lord spoke to me and says, your peace needs to be non-negotiable. Because I was just about to sell my peace. I was getting ready to respond. I was getting ready to lash back out. I was getting ready to give the same energy. And the Lord spoke to me and said, your peace has to be non-negotiable. In other words, don't you sell your peace for nothing. Don't let nothing cause you to sell your peace, because your peace is your sanity. Without your peace, you have no sanity. Have no sanity. But I felt like my silence was ruining my life. And the Lord said, no. There's safety and peace. Yeah, I found safety and peace, and it's non-negotiable. You have to always choose peace over chaos, no matter what it is, no matter who it is. Do not allow the chaos to take your peace. It's a mindset, first of all. It's a mindset. Peace has to be embraced in your mind. I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. That's your mind. See, if you don't manage it in your mind, then you don't have peace. Because peace is not spiritual, it's mental.
I for people who watch the Javon show, they know that it takes a whole lot to get me to shut up and listen. And I have been shutting up and listening this entire interview because you have blessed me today, Bishop House. These words, these nuggets that you dropped, they were much needed. In the season that I'm in right now. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your word that you're providing for me and this audience. For those who want to know more about you, to hear more from you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can watch my Instagram at t.veron, V-E-R-O-N, House. Of course, Facebook, Veron House. And those are the platforms I'm normally on. We do come on YouTube on Sunday, Tuesdays, and then my podcast that I do called The Dialogue on Mondays. But that's the ways to reach out to me.
But I look forward to learning and hearing more from you. If you need me to come preach, I only know one sermon, and that's on Balaam. We can talk to Lori about my Balaam sermon later. I only know the one.
Only the one.
Well, I preached that Balaam sermon.
Noah preached the same sermon for over 500 years, so it's okay.
And it's real good. Lori, she's saying OMG because she's heard my Balaam sermon before. And just let it be no. Fine, Lori.
She said no.
Great. But I look forward to your ministry and growing and hearing more from you. Ladies and gentlemen, he has a book. He has get the book. But we want to make sure that y'all go and get the book, that y'all go support the product line, that y'all, when he comes through your town, that you come and that you give a real good offering too, because he might be able to keep it that day. So make sure y'all offer him, offer him up real good. Bishop House, thank you so much, sir. To everybody, Dr. Anesha Thompson and Elevate Magazine, to Dr. T.L. Holmes, our executive producer, to everybody watching, thank y'all for tuning in tonight. Love y'all. Be good to yourselves and each other. Get a little bit crazy.